Hello and welcome to another episode of Asexual Fairy Tales with me, Elizabeth Hopkinson. This month's episode you may notice is a week later than usual. That was because of the launch of my new book, Cage of Nightingales, and you can listen to an extract from that on the podcast. But this month's story is a bit of a Christmas treat. It's called The Miracle of Marietta and comes from the Finnish national epic The Kalevala. Elias Lönnrot travelled Finland and Karelia in the 19th century, collecting songs from the oral tradition, which he fashioned into an epic story stretching from the creation of Finland to the coming of Christianity and the departure of the old gods. Marietta's tale is interesting because it's a version of the Christmas story imagined in the world of Finnish paganism. As I've said before, the Virgin Mary is one of my asexual icons, and in this version Marietta, or Mary, becomes pregnant by eating a berry. It reminds me of the traditional cherry tree carol, in which Joseph tells Mary to ask the father of her child to get her a cherry from the tree, at which the tree bends down to earth before her. The days of the mighty shaman Wainamoinen were drawing to an end in Karelia when Marietta was born. And yet she had no notion that it would be she who caused the days of song magic to end and a new day to dawn. She was always a modest girl. Folk used to say of her that she would not go milking because the cow had been with a bull, and she would not ride in a sledge drawn by a mare that had been with a stallion. Perhaps this was just hearsay. Folk in the village just felt Marietta was different. In truth, she had hopes and fears like any other girl. She longed to be loved, but the village boys all kept their distance. Did they believe her too good? Too cold? Marietta did not know. She spent her days herding sheep, up hill and down dale, beneath the branches of the alders, and between the cowberry bushes. As she walked, the tin trinkets at her breast, signs of her single status, made music to harmonise with the call of the cuckoo. "Tell me, cuckoo," said Marietta, "will I always be alone?" The cuckoo made no reply. But from the heath at her feet, a cowberry called out, "Eat me! Pick me! Choose me! 100 maidens have passed by! 1,000 women have looked at me, never to touch. Pick me, Marietta." The cowberry was lonely, just like her. Marietta picked and ate it. The taste went right down to her belly. Just one little berry, and already her tummy was full. Full indeed, and soon to grow fuller. As the weeks and months went by, Marietta began to go around unbelted, with her bodice unlaced. She crept to the sauna in secret to bathe alone. Those around her soon became suspicious. At last, the day came when Marietta could hide no longer. Her pains came upon her. Her womb was hard and taut. She was forced to beg her mother for a warm room where she could give birth. "Get away from me, you slut," her mother said. "Who have you been lying with? A married man, was it? Or a passing stranger? You bring shame on me." Marietta tried to explain about the cowberry, but her mother didn't understand. Her father was harsher still. "Get off and give birth in a bear's den where you belong." Marietta begged one of the farm hirelings, a young girl named Pilti, to help her. "Go over to Herod's cabin and ask if I may use their sauna." Pilti loved Marietta, who was always kind to her. She picked up her skirts and ran like smoke on the wind, crunching over pine cones and skidding over gravel until she reached Herod's cabin. It was hard to miss. It was the biggest in the village. Herod was the village headman. The steam constantly rising from his sauna proclaimed his wealth and power to the entire neighbourhood. Herod was drinking at the head of the table when Pilti came in. He drained his cup to the dregs and banged it down on the table with a scowl. "What do you want here, girl?" he said. please!" Pilty panted hard. "My mistress is in labour and begs the use of your sauna." Herod raised a black eyebrow and turned to the mistress of the house who sat beside him, clad in furs and amber jewellery. The lady gave a disdainful sniff. "Our baths are not free for all and sundry, and especially not for a scarlet woman like your mistress. Tell her to take a sauna in the stable on Burnt Hill." At that, all the assembled guests laughed. Pilty ran back to Marietta twice as fast. Her mistress was bent double, breathing hard against the birth pangs. "No luck, mistress. We'll have to seek shelter on Burnt Hill." Together they went, the one leaning heavily upon the other. When they reached the stable, they found a horse and a foal within. Marietta sank into the straw with a sigh. "Help me, good beasts," she pleaded. "Breathe out some steam to give me relief from my pains." The horse and foal were only too happy to oblige, knowing how kind Marietta was to animals. They breathed out their sweet breath, filling the stable with steam until it was as good as a sauna. There Marietta gave birth to her baby, a little son. She held him in her arms, sang over him, and fed him until both fell asleep. When she awoke, Marietta knew something was wrong. She looked into the pile of straw beside her. Her baby was gone. Where could she go to seek him? Marietta searched on the hills and among the pines, through patches of heather and under tree roots, but her baby was not to be found. So Marietta took to the sky. She wandered the heavens until she met a star. "Oh, star, beautiful in creation," she said. "Have you seen my baby, the little golden apple of my eye?" The star replied, "If I knew, I would not tell, for it is he who created me to glitter in the darkness." So Marietta wandered further until she met the moon. "Oh, moon, beautiful in creation, have you seen my baby, the little golden apple of my eye?" "If I knew," said the moon, "I would not tell, for it is he who created me to keep watch over the night." So Marietta wandered further until she found the sun. "Oh, sun, beautiful in creation, have you seen my baby, the little golden apple of my eye?" The sun answered wisely, "Yes, I know of your baby, for it is he who created me to shine like gold and silver. But ill luck for him. He is in the swamp where bastard children are left to die, up to his armpits in mire." Marietta flew to save her son from the miry swamp. She pulled him from the mud and held him into her arms again. A timely rescue. But when it came to naming her son, that was another matter. She called him Little Flower and Golden Apple, for he was the delight of her eyes. But the villagers called him Fly-by-Night and Ill-Begotten, because his mother was unwed. The elder of the village would not baptize him without an inquiry into his parentage. And who is more fit to judge this matter than Wainamoinen, the eternal wise man, who was born old and named all of creation with his song? That was the decision of the elder, and the villagers agreed they must send for Wainamoinen. Wainamoinen came, old of face and strong of body, with his beard down to his knees, and his kantele, his Finnish harp on his back. Wainamoinen came and pronounced his judgment. "This boy was born of a berry and raised from a swamp. Let him be buried in the earth beside the cowberry bush, or taken to the swamp and hit on the head with a stick." The elder was about to concur, as none had ever questioned Wainamoinen's judgment since the hills were first raised. But to everyone's shock, the infant himself spoke. "Old man, you have misjudged me, for you yourself did wicked deeds in your youth, worthy of a beating in a swamp, and no one questioned you. But you condemn me, who even the stars in the heavens acknowledge as Lord." At that, the people of Karelia knew that the time of Wainamoinen was ended, for one greater than he had come. Reluctantly, Wainamoinen baptized the child and named him King of Karelia, Guardian of all power. Then Wainamoinen sang a last song, calling for his magical boat to come to him. When it came, he stepped aboard and bid the people farewell. "I leave you now," he said, "but one day I will return to you. When your need is greatest, when you acknowledge your need of Wainamoinen, then I will come again. Until such time I leave you my kantele, I leave you my music and my songs. They will be your songs and the songs of your children's children." So Wainamoinen left Karelia singing, and Marietta's child, the one born from a berry, watched him go.